What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the International Fatherhood Podcast. I am Anthony out of California. We got Leroy down in Australia and Tom in Germany. How are you all doing?
Very well, mate. Very well.
I'm all right.
It's very Tom,
as you can see. It's,
I know. What time is it out there?
It's 5:30 now, as usual in the morning. But it's not getting light anymore as early. So as you can see, I'm sitting here in the dark. I'm also feeling a bit run down. It's been a pretty busy week with back at work at school and kids and podcasts and such, and not sleeping enough and working out for 19 days in a row has finally taken its toll. I think I'm a little bit run down. I hope it's not the Rona. But
yeah, you mean parenthood. So Tom, why don't you kick it off, man? Tell us something good from the last week.
Me?
Tom? Yeah.
Sorry.
Tell us something good from last week.
I'm so like sleepy. I'm like thinking it's to Leroy. Oh, something good. I mean, the podcast is doing really well. I'm really stoked. I've had some awesome guests on. I have Rudy Reyes today, which is rad. And this podcast is doing pretty well. And then my solo podcast, so the whole podcast is kind of taking a nice surge in the last month or so. So that's going good. And school started really well, man. My class is awesome. I've been having a good time there. So that's been amazing. Leroy, you?
Yeah, so we went camping last weekend. So we spent 4 days up at 1770, which is about 5 hours north. And it was good just to get away with the family and some close friends and just switch off. It was good just to, you know, go to the beach and dig holes and find hermit crabs and, you know, not let technology or, you know, the realms of, you know, restrictions sort of, you know, affect us and just sort of live a bit of a normal life for a few days. It was a great change.
Yeah, nice, cool. Man.
What about you, Anthony? How's dad life been going?
So actually, because of the last podcast, I did start getting up earlier. Started because I haven't been able to do any cardio. So I started getting up at 5:30 to just go on like a 30-minute walk just to get out and actually listen to podcasts. I haven't been able to do that for a while. And it's been nice, man. Like the first few days, I just did not want to get out of bed. But getting out and like actually watching the sunrise has been pretty awesome. Tired right now. Last night, our son came in at 4:30 in the morning because he has his big boy bed and now refuses to sleep in it. So didn't make it this morning, but that's okay.
Yeah, we've had our kids in our bed a couple of times. They've been watching this YouTube show, and we don't usually let them watch YouTube. Like we try and contain it to the YouTube Kids version, but on this TV that we got, you can't download YouTube Kids. It's just like the normal one. It's like the Sharers or something like that. And anyway, there's this pond monster that is in the pool, and yeah, it's now every night if they don't want to go in the bathroom because it might be the pond master in the bath and they don't want to go here and there. And it's so funny because like they come into the office, which is right next to the bathroom, like the toilet's on the other side of the wall essentially. And you know, they're like, Dad, can you come in here and turn on the light for me? I'm like, can't you just do it? I'm sitting right here. And he goes, no, the pond master might be in there.
Oh, man.
I love it how they're attached to those kind of things. Like you never know what they're going to be scared of. My kids watched that Cat in the Hat the one time, bro, and they just couldn't go. They didn't want to sleep either because Cat in the Hat would come out from under the bed. Or E.T. My kids watched E.T. Dude. Yeah. My son was just so scared every night. Even though E.T. is a good guy, he was so scared that E.T. was there, dude. It's like you never know.
E.T. scared me as a kid.
Yeah, you never know. They watch other stuff. They're not scared. They're not scared of some stuff, and then stuff they just freak out about.
What are your kids' favorite shows? Like, do you let them watch, you know, Netflix or any of those, you know, sort of channels? And two, what is their go-to, you know, sort of favorite show at the moment?
I mean, yeah, we do, man. Honestly, not a lot, you know. But fuck, I mean, good for the parents that never let their kids watch TV and can handle it. I mean, there's just times at the end of the day where it's like, here, you know, calm down. Let's throw on a show for you to calm down, wind down from the day before we go to bed. So, I mean, husband's still young. Adriana is way too young, so she doesn't really get into anything. But he's really – he actually watched the Polar Express. I think we just stopped watching the Polar Express, like with the Tom Hanks one, like the kind of semi-animated one. I think we stopped watching that.
You're going to be scared of freaking Father Christmas, bro.
No, man. We literally watched that, I think, until a month ago. Like since Christmas of last year. So we like, that was one of his go-tos. He likes The Lion King. He likes Boss Baby. He likes Pets. He likes all the animated movies.
Did you watch the animated Lion King? Not the real one.
Yeah. The old, like the one that I grew up with.
Yeah, I mean, whoever's listening who's new, Anthony's like the novice dad. He's like, he's learning from Leroy and I.
Hey, man, there's no such thing as an expert dad. You just have to go through it.
But, come on, man.
My son's on obsessed with this. And they watch YouTube more than Netflix and Stan and all those other things. And I don't know. They get more involved in... And I think it's better learning, to tell you the truth. Like, and the one I'm about to is that my youngest son's favorite. It's called T-Rex Ranch, and it's this.
Yeah.
It's a dad and his son, and they just go on adventures, and there's all dinosaurs like 3D imaged into the video and all this. But like, you ask him what sort of dinosaur that is, he knows off the top of his head. Like, he knows.
Nice.
And I just, the amount of learning, and they make it. Like, they watch that Blippi, and as much as everyone hates Blippi, but it's they watch that when they're a lot younger, and it is very educational. And I find that, I'd rather than watch them something that, like the play school back in the day, or, when we were growing up, it's sort of, something they can get something out of rather than just constant episode after episode, or, of just random stuff.
Here we go again, man. I wake up earlier because you guys tell me to wake up earlier. Now I got to put on educational shows for my kids because they're watching just nonsense animated movies that have no educational value.
Don't worry. Just be honest. I think Leroy's like rationalizing and making excuses. So he could put his kids in front of the TV and say, it's educational.
Oh, no, 100%. They watch a couple episodes. Like, they'll get home from school and the first thing he wants to do is just wind down. Like, and it's sort of weird. My eldest son is 6 and my youngest is 3. So the youngest is home with us all day, and he's so excited. Like, his brother gets home at 2:30 in the afternoon and he just wants to hang out and, play and do this. But whereas Harry's been at school all day and, he just wants to chill out and just be to himself for, half an hour before we then go on a bike ride or, go outside and play. And I think that's like the time that we mostly, let him just put on a show on YouTube or something and just chill out for half an hour and just, regain his thoughts and then come play and come outside and go jump on the trampoline and, do whatever he wants to do. And, they're not obsessive over it, but they have their sort of suggestions and their, their typical things. Do your kids ever get into the YouTube stuff, Tom?
My kids don't watch any TV, guys. As you've talked about expert dads, that's me. My kids are just outside playing, being healthy, eating carrot sticks and celery. I'm talking crap. I've got 4 kids, guys. Let's be honest. I think it's like, it's unavoidable, I think. And I said to my wife, I said, it's a good thing for us. We do it usually after dinner. So usually they won't come home and watch TV. In fact, my wife's pretty strict on what kids watch and how they watch. The other day I came home with the kids and I was so drained. I was like, okay, my wife's not home. Let's just like quickly go upstairs and like start watching something. She came home and then she saw me there and she was like, really? Really? Are you really like sitting here watching this now? And I was like, it was one of those moments where I realized that being a good dad or being, stepping up a little bit is a real choice. Cause I was like dead, man. I just went, okay, screw this. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go. This is right. It's not good for my kids on the first day of school to be watching a movie straight after school when we stop. But my twins watch a lot of things and I was being quite strict on what they watch. But then I have the difficulty that they're at their mother's house for a week. And so then they were starting to watch like all these like older things at their mom's house without, without me there with them. And so then I kind of thought, okay, well, let's watch stuff that they've read the books of. So we got into Harry Potter because we would read all the books and listen to audiobooks. But I find it is good. Like for half an hour at the end of the day, the kids are watching TV. My 2-year-old watches Dino Trucks, which is really cool. If anybody wants to check it out on Netflix, same thing. It's like a very, it's not an educational program.
Hudson watches that too.
Yeah, but it's got a lot of like simple machines and a lot of technological stuff actually, and a lot of good morals where people are working together and stuff. So I kind of like that for him. And then the twins will watch a variety of things, but they usually watch about half an hour. And then we can tidy up after dinner, or my kids tidy up, and then we can tidy up further, and I can just sit on and do a bit of work for school. And everyone can have a downtime, And I think that's important to just balance it. And I think it's good for us as a family. And I think that, like you said, they mustn't get obsessive. My daughter gets obsessive sometimes with TV, and I had to ban her from it because she was too much on a tablet and too much this. And I find aggression starts to build in it. Like I find that when kids are sitting too much, it makes them more aggressive, more easily upset and stuff. But I mean, I suppose it's you just got to know your kids. Like having four, I've got to know their limits and what they are. My little baby daughter is a year and a half now, and she started to look at the other kids watching TV, and now she watches a thing called Bobo, which is very weird. And she watches like that. It's like a real young kids one. But my wife keeps me kind of honest because I'm kind of like a little bit more easygoing with them watching like Star Wars or something that's, she wants to save it. She's also got this thing of saving things for my kids in that we let kids watch so many things that then they're not interested anymore, you know, like nothing special for them anymore. By the age of four, kids have watched like every single good movie and every single big thing. And then it's like, well, what's next, you know?
Moms do a better job making them entertain versus just letting them watch TV. Dads are just like, okay, it's a lot. Here,
we balance it though. Yeah,
I mean, that's the challenge. We need to. Yeah, we need to. That's the challenge.
We went swimming yesterday before. Like I like to do that, and even though it's easier to let them watch TV sometimes, and I really feel like doing that, I just go, okay, well, let's get outside. If it's a nice day, get outside. You need to be outside. And then I make like some days I make like an event where like I'm like, okay, we're gonna watch a movie, and I make popcorn, and I sit down with them and watch something with them. Quite often, I don't believe often in like, oh, watch a 2-hour movie by yourself. There, I like to get a movie on something that's that I can be there with them and enjoy the moment. And I think that's a cool bonding. I find it a bonding thing. Me and my kids, Harry Potter has been like our thing, you know. And I used it a little bit to make connections when I didn't have custody of my kids. It was quite interesting. Like I used Harry Potter as one of the things that was there in my thing. So I can form that thing anyway.
Should we jump into the topic?
I thought this could be the topic. I think we've basically done 15 minutes of it. I think it's a good topic though. Maybe let's save the other one for next week. I mean, I think this is a topic that a lot of dads and parents struggle with. And I think that I feel good about how I'm managing it. I do. I'm not thinking I'm an expert. I think I could be better, but there's a lot of parents I know out there at schools whose kids are not just on TV. They're on cell phones already at the age of like 6, 7. Oh, yeah, parents just put them there on the cell phone or on the tablet in the restaurant, you know, and they use it.
We see that all the time out here, all the time. It's like a form of distraction. Like when they're going somewhere, just here, give them the cell phone or give them the iPad. But yeah, I mean, let's pivot. The challenge though, I don't know if it's the same for you guys in your respective countries. The challenge is out here now, at a young age, they're required almost to have an iPad for school or some sort of like computer technology for their homework or for their actual classwork. Is it the same out there?
Yeah, I think over here it's definitely not prep or grade one where my son is at the moment, but I think by about grade 3 or 4, they have to have, you know, they use iPads and he knows how to use an iPad from just having one here at home. But from a school perspective, I think it's mandatory, you know, about grade 3 or 4, and they load all these, you know, different educational, you know, whatever things they do in the classroom. But, you know, you sort of, I guess early days, like we probably looked at that, us growing up, and like, why the kids got technology at this age and this and that. But I think we just got to accept that this is how it's going to be. And it's going to get worse over the next 10, 20 years with the developments of, you know, technology and what happens in the future. And, you know, I think it's sort of, as much as you think it's bad and, you know, trying to compare it to when we were growing up, which was completely different, I think we just got to learn to accept it, but also, you know, learn to manage it in the right way and, you know, have that allocated time and not just here's your phone, here's your iPad, here's, your, you know, whatever, and go hard for the next 3 hours. We'll see you then.
I think that's super important. I think you have to manage it and also protect them as well, because the technology these days are so powerful. The phones are literally so powerful, and different apps. And, you know, there's a lot of sick people out there that take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, being on TikTok, you see so many young kids on there and their parents don't even know they're on the app, and they're under 18 doing, you know, God knows what. And especially right now when, you know, the whole sex trafficking thing and child trafficking thing is becoming so prevalent and so like spoken about, which is great. You know, there's a lot of predators out there, and there's a lot of pages that are kind of hidden to show that or promote that, you know, and that's the scary thing. I mean, I remember too, growing up, my parents were so reluctant to give me a cell phone, one of the old school Nokia phones, by the time I was a junior or 17 in high school, you know, and like you can do anything. You can make a phone call, get a phone call, and you could play Snake on there. That's it, you know. And like you think about phones these days, and like you were saying earlier, we know plenty of kids who are, you know, 8, 9 years old that have iPhones already, and that's a walking computer where you can do whatever you want, you know.
Yeah, well, our son, in saying that, we've got no old iPhone 6, like one of the large, you know, ones mm-hmm. over here, and we just had it in the cupboard, and you know, we haven't got it set up as a phone, but we downloaded, like whenever we're home and, you know, got Wi-Fi, like we put a few of his favorite games on there, or like the YouTube kids and that. And if we do go in the car on, you know, 4 or 5 hour trip like we did on the weekend or this and that, he can sit there and have a little, you know, switch off, play it. And, you know, we didn't have to go buy anything. It was just sitting in the, you know, the sock drawer sort of thing. It was like,
right.
But, you know, and one thing I've actually, me and my son, that's sort of weird to bond over this thing, but we download Angry Birds, and you know, Angry Birds been over like for 10 years or whatever, but you know, and every night after his bath, we play 15 minutes of Angry Birds together, and we're like both taking turns. If he dies, then it's my shot, and then vice versa. And like, you know, and it's just that 15 minutes of, you know, that meaningful time that we can just cuddle up in each other's arms and play this game and just have that one-on-one connection in a different way. You know, it's not outdoors playing, it's just sort of laying there winding down. And you know, that's something that we've started doing, you know, every day for probably the last month, and just it's our thing every night after his bath. It's, you know,
yeah, we've got the same. I mean, that's the same thing that I said about Harry Potter. I also had a game because my son was in hospital. I mean, I don't know if you guys know, but my son used to go to hospital like every 3 months, basically, and he was there for a long time. So we used to then sit on the hospital bed because he couldn't actually go sometimes, you know, out and stuff. So we
for what, Tom? Kind of
pardon?
For what?
He had like a botched operation when he was born. Someone like his doctor fed him through his. They were both like 5 weeks, 10 weeks early, so they spent like 5 weeks in hospital, and they fed him through in South Africa through his navel. Like with a drip and
feeding tube, yeah.
Got a thrombosis in his liver, I'm forgetting the artery now, so I'm so tired of the morning. anyways, portal vein. He got a thrombosis in his portal vein that takes the blood from the liver, and they botched this operation here in Germany, and then he was like in hospital for 3 months, man, and he almost died. They literally had to transfer him from one hospital to the next because he was like on the edge. So anyways, that's another whole story. How to deal with those things when your kids go through it. That's when I know that being a man and being a bit stoic is a very helpful thing when your kids are going through terrible times and you have to kind of walk into hospital rooms and just not let them see that you are like afraid. Mm-hmm. But with the technology, so we've used that a bit, you know, but I think it's like Anthony says, Leroy says it, and I guess you did say it too, Anthony. It's like this intentionality with everything. It's like when you like decide, it's like making it like intentional. Like, okay, well, we play Angry Birds for 15 minutes now. You watch TV for half an hour after dinner, and it's these shows. You have a cell phone, and these are the apps that are on there. We talk about it. We communicate. It's not a free-for-all, you know. Kids are kids, and we are parents because we're parents, you know. We're there to like be protectors and guardians and stuff. And we can't do it in a way where it's like just shut everything off, because that doesn't work either, because they're always going to be inquisitive and they're going to see their friends and they're going to sneak off, just like our guys did at high school, where the guy brought the porno mag to school and then everyone was like crowded around on the playground, whether my parents wanted me to see it or not. But I remember that my parents taught me about that and to be like aware of that. And I've never been into that, actually. That's another whole episode about porn. But I've never been into it because my parents taught me that in a way, you know, like, okay, well, this is really not good for you. And I think it's the same thing with tech, is when you can teach your kids what is good and to enjoy it, but be intentional about that and be present in it. Not just, here's the phone, oh, like go and do your own thing. I think that that's lazy. And that is lazy parenting. And I don't think that it's positive for our kids. And the kids at my school, I'm a teacher, so I get to see it firsthand. Like I said it to my colleagues yesterday. You look down from the top of the balcony and all you see now is just teenagers sitting around like on their phones, heads down, not communicating with each other anymore. So there's,
You see with adults. You see with adults.
It's adults as well. But when you started with our kids, it's like,
it's got to change posture, doesn't it? Generations are just going to be smaller. Yeah, stunted.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, to go back to
tablets. What about tablets? I mean, just get your kids to like make limits. There's tablets that you can use. Like my kids have the Amazon Fire. My kids, you know, instead of buying an iPad, you get Amazon Fire, and you can actually control. You have to listen to stories for half an hour. You got to read read books for half an hour, and then you have half an hour time to play.
Right. What's that? The Amazon Fire? I've never even heard of it.
It's Amazon Fire, and it's for kids. And my kids, I gave it to them for Christmas. It's pretty funny. Their mom gave it to them for Christmas, and I gave it to them for Christmas. We said that Santa Claus had messed it up, and then they found out that there was no Santa Claus through that. And it's like this one that you can kind of download a lot of kids stuff on. You can share books with them, so you can buy stuff on Amazon and share shows with them and movies with them and stuff. And then you can go into the parental control and you can set like goals for the day. So your goal is to listen to Audible for half an hour. Your goal is to read a book for half an hour. Then you can have half an hour games for the day, or half an hour games and TV or whatever.
And does it cut it off like when that half an hour?
And it cuts it off. It cuts it off, and it only opens up the options of doing those things once they've done the educational things. So basically my kids have like then listened to loads of stuff and read. And
this is like gateways.
Yeah. And then
it was like gateways. Yeah.
Yeah. So I found that really good, and it helps them to be responsible, and they're very proud. My kids are also proud of being outdoor kids. They also have a pride in not being kids, especially my son. He doesn't want to be a technological, you know, techno person that just is on technology the whole time. So he prides himself, and they read a hell of a lot, man. That's the other thing, is when you're putting kids on tech, what are they not doing when they're on tech? You know, are they reading books anymore? Are they doing that? Or are they just, you know,
definitely not tidying the house or the bedroom? That's one thing for sure.
Yeah. I think what I was trying to go back to though, is like when you were saying how you see, if you look down from the balcony, you see just kids just buried in their phones. You see with adults, like you walk down the streets and you see everybody, no one's talking to each other. No one's looking up. Everyone's literally staring down at their phones as they're walking. If you go on public transportation, every single person is on their phone, you know? And it's like, we talk about all the time that kids are sponges. Well, they're also sponges with that, you know? And I mean, my son is already picking up, and it's something that I need to be mindful of, but I am on my phone a lot because of social media, because I'm responding to people, I'm responding to emails, I'm responding to DMs, I'm responding to comments, right? So he's already mindful of that. And he literally said this evening, he's like, no more phone down. I'm like, shit, like you're two and yeah. You're almost three and you already can pick up on that. I'm like, okay, phone's down.
Yeah. You know? I don't know if what you use, Anthony, for your website, but we use Shopify for the Fit Dad Lifestyle. Same. And my son will run in after the wife gets him from school and goes, Dad, what's the dollar amount today? Like, because I've got one of the screens in here, like constantly. Yeah. It's one of the first things he says, what are we up to? He's like, he gets all excited and runs off. And it's like, just how things change.
Yeah, it's exactly like my kids with Instagram, right? My kids ask me, are you going to put that on Instagram? I want to make a YouTube channel of like survival skills outdoors. I want to make a YouTube channel of making things. And they're super like watch, especially us and what we do. They see us with a podcast, they see us with putting stuff on Instagram, and they start to learn that that's what life is about. It's like, it's not just a moment to enjoy anymore. It's like, this has to go on Instagram now because it was a cool thing. And I think Anthony's so right, bro. They learn, and it's maybe an opportunity for us to teach our kids, because that's probably when they're the most aware, because they're getting annoyed with us. And if you kind of turn it around, you can tell them, look how annoyed you are with me on my phone. So obviously you see that this is negative, and then kind of interpret that into the thing that they understand, that obviously, because they obviously innately understand that being on a phone instead of talking to them and listening to them is not enjoyable, is not cool. But one day it's going to be them as a teenager sitting at the table on their phone and us saying, put down the phone, and then they're probably going to turn around and say, well, hey Dad, don't talk shit, like you're on your phone all the time.
You must think of what like the kids, like we drove home from school pickup yesterday, and there was one of the petrol stations was like construction site that was getting bulldozed, and my son goes, Dad, did they bulldoze petrol stations when you were a kid as well? And you just think, like, where did that come from? And you know, like how can I, like, I could take a picture of that and he could have that picture forever, but none of this, like he asked that quite a bit now. Oh, did they do this when you were a kid? And
because you do think this? We're old, man.
Yeah. But like, you know, everything that they do is going to be documented, you know, like there's always going to be some, you know, form of memory there, whether it's on a hard drive or in the cloud or, you know, whatever. But you think back, like before we were 15, like there was no photos, you know, apart from photos you physically got developed and, you know, put on online. Not online, in the photo album.
Yeah, right. I mean, we don't have photo albums of all of our meals, or photo albums of like a bunch of gym selfies.
So can you imagine?
Change for sure.
Well, I downloaded this like photo cleaner app the other day because I looked at my photo thing. I had 30,000 photos in the reel there. And of those 30,000, like 3,000 were similar, which means it was like an auto burst and, you know, it was something similar. And I was like, why have I got that many photos on my phone? It's just...
just a bunch of selfies of Leroy in the gym.
Yeah, you got to stop asking for them. I'll stop taking them.
my daughter said, oh, Dad, my daughter saw a photo of me because you got the Google Drive and then they're at their mom's house. So then when they're at their mom's house on the way to my house, they look through my photos of the week to see what we did, which is very interesting. And there was like a photo because I'd taken a before photo before this like workout thing I've done. And my daughter's like, Dad, like what? This is a why? Why have you got a photo here of you in the mirror with your shirt off? It is like, it is random. It's like, and then you look at our Instagrams, like what are our kids going to say when they go on the Instagram one day and be like,
dad on the mountain bike, his dad at school and his dad in the mirror.
The mirror photos. How many guys are like, I don't know, there's so many dudes that, and it's one of the things that I always ask myself, like, why do we have to take photos of ourselves as I should have? Now I'm talking about the selfie, standing in the mirror, like, look at what I've done. It's like, fuck man, what's wrong with us?
I think a lot of guys do it to track progress, you know, but
yeah, that's cool. I think it's not bad, but to share it with the whole world. And this is an interesting thing. Yeah. Is like how much of our life, like, and don't you guys have this as like being on Instagram and stuff? Don't you sometimes think like, why am I sharing all this stuff? Do you ever think that? Cause sometimes I'm sharing it, I just go, why am I?
Well, sharing? I share everybody else's stuff. So it's easy for me. I don't have to share my stuff. I share everybody else's stuff.
Yeah, I honestly, if it wasn't for the business, I don't know if I'd be on social media. I'm that far gone now that I have to be. But like looking at it from an outside point of view, I would love to just be a nobody in the online world and just do my own thing, my own way, and not have to feel like I need to, you know, put stuff out there. Definitely.
I'm still a nobody, but I'm still putting it out there. That's lame. Well, you have to start somewhere, right? But I think it is a tool. And that's the thing, I suppose, like everything. And that's what tech for our kids. It's like a tool, you know, it's like use it for positive. It should be a positive thing, right? We shouldn't be doing anything and doing everything in a habit that is bad for our kids, whether it be an iPad or a phone or TV. It needs to be something that I think is beneficial. And when you can have a bit of downtime and stuff and the kids can get a bit of education and can be a bit up to date with things and us as well, then you do it. If it's not, that's the yardstick, right? As dads, is this good for my family? Okay. Yes. Is it being negative for my family? No.
I think what I'm going to take away is literally three P's. Make sure it's planned, purposeful, and protected.
I like that. That's good.
You could have gone for the wife discussion as well, probably. I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough one. It's a very difficult one, but I think I don't want to leave my children's education and their lives up to like media deciding what they believe, what they think, what they see, what at risk they are. I think as dads, that's our job, is to be the ones that are responsible for that to a large degree. And then it's the relationship, guys, right? It's like if we have a close relationship with our kids and keep that contact up instead of giving the phone, rather being present, which was my last episode on my solo podcast, was quality over quantity. It's like just making those moments quality with our kids, whether they be wherever, is that we have that relationship. Because then when you have that relationship, it's so easy to have the conversation. Hey, don't you think you've been on your phone a little bit too much? Or don't you think maybe this is like not a good thing to be looking at? Maybe not being, because in the WhatsApp groups at school, guys, people talk disgustingly to each other sometimes. You know what I mean? Like when kids get on WhatsApp, think about it. When teenagers are in groups and WhatsApp by themselves, and the bullying now that kids are open to, super amounts of bullying.
It's on social media too, man.
Yeah.
It's on social media too with adults. Like you have trolls out there all the time. I have them on my page all the time. You know,
but
I mean,
kids it's in an emotional state, you know, as teenagers.
Yeah. Oh, I know. But I mean, it's no different. The difference now is they hide behind a screen versus back in our time, like you had to say it to someone else's face. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's no screen to hide behind. It's a lot easier to bully behind a screen and be tough behind a screen than it is like in person.
But it's there all the time. You know? The message, if I write a message to you, Anthony, like you're a douchebag, it's like there for you to look at. You go home, you look at it again, and then you see the next one. Yeah, you are an idiot and you did this. And then you've got this whole stream that you can just go, you can just run over and over again in your head. Like if you have trouble at school, it's like you go home and it's not there anymore. Whereas now the bullying and the situation is in your phone and in your life, like constantly. And you can be looking at that thing till 10 o'clock at night and still trying to write messages to solve that. It's an easy
swipe left and delete, bro.
Yeah, block and delete. That's
gone. Long delete, gone, man.
Do you think kids do that though? That's the problem. We do that. It's nice for us, like on Instagram and stuff. Okay, fine. But I don't think kids deleting their friends. I don't know how easy that is. You know, their fellow classmates and stuff, because they kind of want to be in. They want to be accepted. So I think it's just right. Anthony's totally right. Like planned, purposeful. And what was the third one?
Protect.
Planned, purposeful, and protected. Protect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Cool, dudes.
All right.
Well done.
On that, huh?
Yeah, that was good.
All right. Well, again, you guys, thank you guys for listening. Make sure to share, tag, screenshot, put in your stories. Let us know your feedback. Message us all night.
And go buy the rest of Anthony's Dad Life product from there.